Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Every Saturday morning, it's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Terry takes you inside the outdoors. You know, hunting, fishing, camping. It's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Now, here's Terry.
All right, let's go right to the phones. And joining us, as he does every week at this time, Nate Zielinski. Good morning, Nate.
Good morning, Terry. How are you today?
You know, I'm doing well, and we're talking a lot about the changing conditions on the Front Range. But you add into that, we have some very stable and incredible ice fishing yet in the mountains. Turkey season's a few weeks away. Other boating, we're getting into that. You and I seem to talk about a lot where you're almost getting to where you have to start picking your poison again.
Absolutely, Terry. You know, honestly, it's a terrible time of year for that because right now there's so much good opportunity. And honestly, you know, I'm as on the ice as much as about any angler I know. You know, we started guiding ice trips December 1st up at Jefferson Lake. I've been wearing snow pants, bibs, goggles for months on end now. So there's no doubt there's a part of me that is so excited to get on the boat, to start catching walleyes. And this time of year, you know, if you're willing to dial in those patterns, you know, we have an incredible shoreline bite for big walleyes right now. The boats are going to be out, you know, very shortly with this forecast. So that, you know, that whole part of me is excited about that. But, I mean, honestly, Terry, I do better for big fish on late ice than I do early ice. It's just a fact of the matter. I think so many anglers get excited for early ice. They hit it hard. They hit it all winter. And I'm starting to see less and less anglers on the ice. And I don't blame them. You get burned out. You get tired of dragging your stuff out there. It's cold. And this nice weather gets you excited for spring. But, again, when it comes to big fish, they're for me personally, there's no better time of the year. I mean, what we're catching on the ice right now is unbelievable. So as much as I want to hit that open water, honestly, when we have, you know, almost a month at least of ice in a lot of the high country, those big fish right now are hard to leave, that's for sure. So a lot of stuff going on, and then obviously the kind of, you know, thrill of turkey hunting in the spring. So everything's happening. We're just going to kind of touch base on a little bit of all of that today on the show.
Well, let's start with the ice fishing. What bodies of water are you seeing? What kind of results and what techniques?
Absolutely. So right now I'm breaking it down to three things. There's a lot of fish happening. I mean, you have a great salmon bite. The salmon really gathered hard at 11 mile. So we have a really good salmon bite there and a lot of other species going. But I'm going to break it down to pike, lake trout, and big spawning rainbows. And those are the three bites that I think are a must to hit right now. Starting with the lake trout, all your lake trout fisheries are doing good. You know, we've been spending a ton of time at Williams Fork. Those fish are just now starting to move a little shallower. So I've been putting 100% focus on big fish. So, you know, when we go out, we are looking for nothing but giant fish. You know, we rarely even see a 30-inch fish. It is pretty much big fish or bust. And those fish have been sitting, you know, in a wide range, all the way from extremely shallow out to last week, we caught fish as deep as like 38 to 40 feet of water. Now those fish are all starting to come just a little shallower. So we probably saw a 20 to 25% increase in that shallower depth movement. So a lot of movement into that, you know, 20 to 30 foot range. So if you've been catching big lakers, understand that there is starting to be a small transition to shallower water. But those fish are getting antsy under the ice. They're getting excited, and that bite is increasing. So big lake trout is definitely a go. I mean, the biggest concept, if you've never caught big trophy lake trout, think shallow water, think very large baits, and think run and gun until you find those big fish. You know, it's a very early bite, I would say. We start catching these fish at first light, and I would say by 10, 11 o'clock, it starts to fade. If you're on a fishery that has a lot of food, the bite fades out earlier. If there's less food, they'll feed a little bit later into the day. But again, big lake trout, shallow water, big baits, move around until you find them. You're going to catch some big fish. So that's the one hit there. Then we move into the big rainbows. Right now, you take a fishery like 11 mile, and we are seeing giant fish starting to come into basically those spawning areas. Obviously, we see a big push of spawning fish that go up the South Platte, so they go up the inlet. But all your little feeder creeks that come into 11 miles. So like right now, Witcher's Cove, it is loaded with fish. You have got a ton of stalker rainbows to keep you entertained, but we got some giant fish moving in there. And then Cross Creek, which is located right at the inlet, you go out there, find the small channel cuts. Those big giant rainbows are cruising those channel cuts as they go up into the river, and just some big fish. I mean, if you ever wanted the opportunity at that 28, 30-inch rainbow, I mean, truly the fish of a lifetime, right now is the time that those fish are coming. We're seeing the same thing at Antero. Antero is starting to see a little bit of oxygen deprivation. Those fish are cruising high in the water column, but same thing. They're piling into the boat dock. They're piling into the inlets. You're seeing a massive transition of these big fish, you know, really putting a full swing on the spawning cycles, and they're gathered, and they're vulnerable in that shallow water. So those big rainbows, I'd say our big focus is shallow water. We're pretty much fishing 4 to 6 feet of water in almost all situations for those big rainbows. We're working a bait fairly active, I'd say quite a bit of movement, get their attention. And honestly, we're all winter, we've been fishing a lot of natural colors, you know, browns, root beers, olives, you know, real natural for those bigger fish. Right now, as that spawn hits, we're moving into a lot of oranges and pinks. You know, there's a lot of fish that'll eat their own eggs, eat others' eggs. So that kind of egg concept is big right now. So we're fishing a lot of like inch and a half tube jigs, but bright pink, bright orange, even bright red. And those are the baits that are catching those giant fish right now. So that rainbow bite is something definitely to hit. And then probably the most near and dear to my heart, my favorite bite right now, pretty much what I'm almost exclusively guiding, is big pike through the ice right now, Terry. We saw a 40-inch fish every day this week. We are flat out on top of some giant fish. And Terry, we in Colorado have big pike. It's just a statement. We have big fish. You know, our fish have an endless food source. You know, depending on which fisher you're at, they're very bulky. They're fat. They're just a heavier fish in Colorado than we see almost anywhere else in the country. And you throw this time of year on them to where they have spawn matter inside of them. They don't lose any weight in the winter with that cold water. And these fish are fat. We saw fish this week that were measuring out in girth at 28 inches. So literally right now, anybody that's listening, grab a tape measure, stretch it out 28 inches, make a circle, and think about that. Our fish are literally going in the mid-20 to high 20-inch on girth. I mean, these are flat-out giant fish. So that pike bite is something that I've been spending so much of my time on, and you just can't beat it. I mean, we're catching giant fish right now. And again, I don't think that's going to fade out. You know, they get a little susceptible to pressure changes. We get storms coming through, but this bite's been on fire. It kind of kicked off with the full moon, and I anticipate us going all the way up into April on that great bite for those big pikes. So a lot of stuff happening on the ice. And again, we know open water's happening. We know turkey's coming up. There's a lot of cool stuff else happening. But when we're getting fish as big and quality as we're getting right now, it's hard to leave the ice. So I encourage guys, again, keep the ice gear out for one or two more trips. It's definitely worth getting out for.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And as far as those big fish and the technique of going to brighter colors in the spring, I think there's a couple reasons for brighter colors work in the spring. One is the fish haven't been as pressured as they will be in the open water. And two, I think that they get in these spawning stages, they get a little ornery, and they sometimes aren't feeding but just hitting that because it makes them mad.
Yep.
So I'm a big proponent of brighter colors in the spring. Let's touch on the walleyes really quickly because we're going to cover that more in the next segment. I know that it's really, we're a couple weeks away from that really opening up, but get us there and then let's talk a little turkey hunting.
Absolutely. So when we're talking about the walleye bite, obviously Pueblo is open, it's ready, it's good to go. As far as your major fisheries, you know, Aurora Reservoir is 100% capped, it's ice. Honestly, guys are pounding walleyes out there. I think we've probably come to the end of that ice season. I know our senior ice guy, Dustin Sigler, was out there every day early this week, but the ice was deteriorating fast on him. So I would say that ice bite's pretty much done to where we're pretty much 100% now focused on that open water. Cherry Creek is starting to show a lot of open water. Your east shore is open. Your dam's open. By the marina's open. And guys are out there throwing jerk baits in low light periods. They're throwing paddle tails and blade baits during the day, and we are seeing those pre-spawn walleyes out there. So there 100% is a shoreline bite at that fishery. Chatfield starting to see some open water by the South Marina Handicap. We're starting to see just a tiny bit of water on the dam face, but I would say with the forecast, things are going to start breaking up very quickly. We have a storm coming middle of the week. I think we're actually going to get rain out of that storm and not snow, and I don't think there's anything worse for ice than rain. So I really think that that storm's going to bring some rain, which is going to really help us break apart the ice that we have. I'm hoping we get some thermals and some pressure changes with that storm, create some wind and kind of rip that ice off. But even before we talk about boating, which we'll cover next weekend, the walleye, I would put a major focus. Jerk baits and low light, paddle tails, and blade baits during the day, really focus on those paddle tails, and there is a great shoreline bite for walleye. So I think more than anything, just keep that in mind, because right now we're pre-spawn. As we kind of go the next couple days, even into the next weekend, we're going to see an increase in transition from those fish going from a pre-spawn, which is a feeding bite, to a spawning bite, which is reaction. If you talk to any angler in the country, I think almost all of us will agree we would rather target pre-spawn than spawn. A spawning fish, you have to hit on the head. It becomes a luck game. That's where a pre-spawn bite is a feeding bite. The fish are looking for a meal. They're looking to take your bait, and those fish are much easier to catch. So over the next couple days, enjoy this nice weather. Hit those walleyes now while they're in a pre-spawn, because things will change as they move into a spawning bite, and it becomes more of a numbers thing. A lot of casts have to hit the fish on the head to get them to take the bait.
All right, now we're going to transition to turkey hunting. And just so you know, later on this hour, Colorado Clays is going to devote a whole bunch of time to patterning and what results they've seen with different guns and things. But I want to really hear what you're thinking about turkey hunting. You know, it's April 10th, and the season opens, and too many people wait till the last minute. Ammunition might be hard to come by, so you've got to start getting out, finding ammunition. Do you have the right gun? What's your take on all that?
Absolutely, Terry. So that's what I want to touch base on. I mean, we could have an entire two-hour show dedicated to turkey, and we wouldn't even brush on it. There's so much to it. But I want to say that obviously last year, you know, you can deny it or try to not look at it. The whole concept of what COVID did to the outdoor industry blew it up. More people are enjoying the sport. Now, luckily, our turkey population is higher than it's ever been. Our turkeys are in other areas where they've never been. I'm running into turkeys, Terry, in places where I never would have dreamed I would see turkeys. So it's cool for the fact that I think our turkey population and the areas to hunt them is going to really be adequate for the number of hunters that we're going to see this spring. So I think that's great. So I really encourage people, go out, especially next weekend. So the reason I'm going to say this is we're going to get some snow in the mountains. So especially the mountain areas, we're going to get snow this week. So one of those things, when I scout turkeys, I think so many people want to physically see the birds and they want to hear the birds gobbling. And we're not quite there yet. But right now, after a snowstorm, I go up and drive all the roads in the areas where I'm going to turkey hunt, and I simply look for turkey tracks. So I do all my scouting right after snow, and that's how I'm going to determine where I have birds and where I don't have birds. That's the first piece of advice. Get out and scout, but instead of trying to hear them, physically see them, simply look for tracks. Know you have birds in the area. That's step one. Number two, I think some of our turkey gear, especially ammunition, shot shells, and tubes for your firearm, for your shotgun, are going to be a little hard to find. Now, I will say I was in Bass Pro yesterday. They were fully stocked with a lot of turkey shells. They had a great selection of tubes. But with that being said, those items do sell out fast. So as we approach turkey season, I think you're going to see some of that gear be hard to find. So right now, grab some shot shells. And I don't ever put a choke tube in until I fire the shot shells. But I'm not going to lie. Everybody thinks it's a bird. You know, we talk about goose and duck and all the waterfowl. But turkeys are not easy to kill. Now, when you bring them in, you know, to 20 yards and you have a shotgun in hand, yes, things work out in your favor. But if all of a sudden that bird's out there at 30, 40, 50 yards, I think we all assume that our shotgun has the energy and the capacity to make a clean harvest at distance, but you have to check that shotgun. You need to know what it is. So, you know, set up a turkey target, grab your turkey loads, and figure out where your pattern is going to be good to. You want to put a cluster of those BBs and pellets in the zone of that kill zone of that turkey, and you just literally want to start stepping back. Take a shot at 30 yards, see what your pattern is. Go to 30, 35, 40 yards, and all of a sudden you're going to get to the point where you say, hey, my pellets are not patterning good. I don't have enough in that kill zone. That is my distance. And you can either choose to say, hey, that is what it is. I just know I have to bring this bird and call this bird in to 20 yards or 30 yards or whatever that number is. Or if you say, hey, my pattern falls apart at 30 yards, I would like to shoot just a little bit further than that. That's when all of a sudden you're going to add those choke tubes that are built for those turkey loads. So in Colorado, it's going to be four shot, or smaller. So you're going to really break it down and say, hey, I'm taking that four shot turkey load. I'm going to start adding extended range choke tubes, tighter tubes to really build that pattern. And then you're going to start being able to increase that distance. But I start off with good turkey loads, shoot, check my pattern, figure out my adequate range for a clean harvest, and then either be comfortable with that and just make a hard stop if that's what it is, or I start dabbling into the different chokes out there. But the biggest thing right now, make sure you grab those loads, check those patterns to where you can purchase, alternate things to help that, but do it now before this product runs out. So again, that's kind of one of those other tips. And then lastly, there is good ways to call in turkeys with bad calls, but the better the caller you are, the more success you're going to have. I think so many hunters that are going to be out in the field this year might be new to turkey hunting, or maybe we're taking it up after we haven't done it in a few years. You're not going to become a great turkey caller overnight. Grab those calls right now. Get the calls out if you own the calls. Watch some shows, on your lunch break, when you get home at night. Start practicing with those calls. Get the dust worn off and get back to where you are very adequate with that call, just so when turkey season runs around, you are ready to go. And the last quick tip of advice, everybody hunts early turkey. They get out there, they're excited, they've been cooped up all winter, and they hit it hard. I rarely hunt those opening weekends. I wait until a little later. My peak time for turkeys in Colorado is once the hens start nesting up. So this is going to come to actually the last 10% of the entire season. Once the hens are on nest, once they're laying eggs, once they're tied up, that's when those gobblers start getting frustrated because there's not as many hens out there. And that's when those gobblers start covering a ton of ground looking for hens. And that's when your calling ratio is going to go through the roof. So just keep that in mind. If you're not ready for that opener, no worries. The season will only get better as time goes on.
Nate, we are way out of time. How do people get a hold of you if they want to book a trip?
Absolutely. TightlineOutdoors.com, Tightline Outdoors on Facebook. I will say, personally speaking, I only have one date left in May, 3 dates left in June. We are booking up. If you're thinking about a guide service, whether it's me, Matt, Dustin, or Will, give us a call now because we are definitely almost sold out. So give us a call. We'd love to take you out.
All right, my friend. We'll talk to you next week.
Talk to you soon.
All right, Nate Zielinski, great, great resource. Hey, we're going to switch gears. When I tap to this break, Austin Parr is going to join us. We're going to talk fishing. Then we're going to get back with the guys at Colorado Clays about patterning your turkey shotgun. So we have a lot of ground to cover on Terry Wickstrom Outdoors and 104.3 The Fan.